98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
All of the top stories of the day, and it's all right here for you on the 4 o'clock reset. Our daily look at the top headlines and our reactions to the stuff making news here on 98.7 FM, Arizona sports. Here on the Burns and Gambo Show, we call it the 4 o'clock reset. We start with Arizona Diamondbacks baseball, about 20 minutes away from Game 2 of their three-game set against the Atlanta Braves. Curious start for Zach Godley tonight, just because his last time out, Torrey Lovello, admitted the day after Godley's start that he lost sleep over his inability to get Godley out of that game sooner than he did.
Yeah, it was a big mistake by Lovello leaving him in. It was obvious early in that inning that he was losing it, first few batters, and then he gave up the long sack fly, and then he gave up the big home run, but he was wild. I mean, he was missing with his pitches. He was up high in the zone. He was all over the place. Probably a quicker hook on Zach today against a good offensive team in the Braves. I mean, they got three guys, you know, hitting over 300. I mean, it's a good offensive team, so tough matchup for Godley.
Schedule release day today in the NFL, and as Sarah mentioned a moment ago, at 5 o'clock, we will devote big bulk of our programming to looking at the schedule, breaking down the schedule, where are the soft spots, where are the weak spots. A couple of games that I say we know, I don't know if we know, but it's being speculated upon heavily on Twitter from people, sources with other teams, things like that. Have the Cardinals on the road playing the Giants in Week 7? Have the Cardinals on the road playing the Saints in Week 8? Those are the two that have been sort of talked about from guys who cover other teams.
Yeah, I think we'll break it down. You always like to look at the trends, you know, where you're playing at home, where you're playing the road games, how many in a row. The one thing, the easy thing to just say now is nice to get the Giants in October instead of December. Cold.
Yes.
Cold weather in December. October, nice. Fine. You're not worried about the cold in October in New York. It's fine. The weather's beautiful.
So as a reminder, here are the opponents, and we'll see where they shake down. Of course, the division teams, a home and away. Home against the Falcons, home against the Panthers, home against the Browns, home against the Steelers, home against the Lions. If you're looking for cold weather destinations or just destinations in general, the Cardinals on the road this year at Tampa Bay, at New Orleans, at Cincinnati.
Cincy could be cold.
At Baltimore.
That could be cold.
At New York. Now, if New York's in the fall,
nice, yeah,
you don't have to worry about that.
The weather will be beautiful.
The cold weather cities on the road in December late you would have to worry about would be at the Bengals and at the Ravens. If those two games are earlier, that's at least a little bit of an advantage. You don't have to pay in that sloppy,
sure,
weather.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think everybody wants to see who the home opener is going to be against, too.
Yes.
You know, what is that first game?
Sure.
Some speculation that it was the Lions. We don't know yet.
Well,
we'll find out soon.
And then look at these opponents. I mean, it's going to be the Cardinals versus Bruce Arians. It's going to be the Cardinals versus Steve Wilks. It's going to be, I mean, there's a lot of those kind of interesting sort of matchups in there that we'll be looking for. But our top story of the day on the Burns and Gambo Show is we continue to speculate on the NFL draft. This is officially, cue the circus music, the Benny Hill theme song, for which Gambo is, were you really a fan of Benny Hill?
I love this show.
Okay, because I got you a DVD set for your birthday one
year.
Have you watched it? Have you watched the DVD set that I got you for your birthday?
I don't even know if I have a DVD player.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of. So here's your Benny Hill music.
It's in the collection.
Here's Aaron Taylor, CBS Sports College Football Analyst. If Arizona doesn't take Murray, he's going to fall out of the first round. Oh, the music is appropriate.
Only if I'm Arizona with Cliff Kingsbury. You cannot deny the perfect match of offensive philosophy and style and skill set. If Arizona doesn't take Murray, I project he could possibly fall all the way out of the first round.
It's a bold strategy, Aaron.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton.
It's a bold strategy. I'll look at the New York Post. This is the hottest Kyler Murray take as the NFL draft looms.
Oh, it's hot.
If Arizona doesn't take Murray, I project he could fall all the way out of the first round. Well, then if he's going to fall, let's do common sense 101 here. If he was going to fall all the way out of the first round, why would you take him number 1 overall if you can get him at number 33 overall?
Right. No, I know. I mean, that's okay. So,
that doesn't make any sense.
So then. Thanks, Jordan. I appreciate
that.
Let's take what Aaron Taylor said at face value. You're absolutely right. If nobody else would dare take him in the first round, well, then why would the Cardinals?
I don't know. Maybe this is just stupid.
So here's a way the Cardinals can get Kyler Murray and Nick Bosa in the same draft. Take Bosa number one, and since nobody else values Kyler Murray, take him with the 33rd pick. Piece of cake.
Or let's just not have, you know, football players like this become like analysts. Can we just go down that road? Can we just not have guys like this become analysts? I mean, this is just not a very smart person. This is somebody who really hasn't done their homework, doesn't know what they're talking about. Maybe it's the Notre Dame education.
Oh, wow, that's a good education. I'd be careful ripping that. People pay a lot of money to get that education, legally and illegally.
Maybe he didn't go to any classes when he was at Notre Dame. I mean, this is the stupidest thing we've heard. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. There's no chance in the world that's going to happen. Like 0%. I'll bet multiple mortgage payments that's not going to happen, that Kyler Murray is going to fall out of the first round. I mean, that's a dumb, stupid take. Just dumb and stupid. And, you know, you look at your analyst like, did you really just say that?
Well, and that's kind of what happened. The other guys on the set with him, and we only played the shorter cut for you. The other guys on the set with him were like, really? That's what you're, yeah, no, I don't. The other guys on the set were like, yeah, I still think somebody else is going to take him. I also think, all right, I'm not going to call the man dumb, but what I'll say is this.
I will.
Okay, I know you will. You have no problem doing that. His take represents the old way of thinking in the NFL. 2002 called, they would like their take back, okay? Because in 2002, only a coach like Cliff Kingsbury would dare dream make a guy like Kyler Murray his quarterback, right? I mean, that's sort of what he's insinuating.
Right.
That there's only one coach in the league who could possibly even want Kyler Murray to be his quarterback, and that's Cliff Kingsbury. That's a very outdated, old way of thinking, old school kind of take that I just don't think applies to football in 2019.
No, I got a former NFL player texting me saying, Aaron Taylor is very smart and always prepared. Yeah, okay. he might be very smart and he may be always prepared, but that's just a dumb
take.
Well,
it's just an old-fashioned take. I mean, it's an old-fashioned football take is what it is. That's why I'm not calling him dumb. I think it's very outdated, antiquated.
But I think he's basing it a lot on, and he went on to talk about how small he is. And I think maybe that's what he's basing it on, just how small he is as a player. Now, he mentioned something about the amount of quarterbacks that, you know, are under 6 feet tall that went to the playoffs. I don't know if you have that cut there.
I do. Can I play it for you real quick? Yeah, here it is right here.
If Kyler Murray's 6'3", if he's Dwayne Haskins, we're not even having this conversation. No. He's number one overall, and it's not even close, but he's not. He's 5'10". Only been three quarterbacks under 6 foot tall that have made the playoffs since the year 2000. Last 20 years. Can he be the fourth? Yeah, probably, but his skill set and being severely undersized as he is going to be a limitation he's going to have to overcome.
Again, a very old-fashioned, old school, old way of looking at the NFL sort of a take.
It's a dumb take. That's what it is. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just not a very good take.
Dum, 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 dum.
Had a guy said, according to Pro Football Reference, since 1950, there have been eight quarterbacks under 6 feet who started at least 32 games. So, Burnsy and Gambo, the three of eight to make the playoffs is pretty decent. If only three made the playoffs, but there's not a high percentage of players that small that have actually played. So if three of them have made the playoffs, the percentages are actually quite high. Because not that many players get drafted and play at that height.
The ninth annual Larry Fitzgerald Double Play Celebrity Softball Game, it returns to Salt River Fields on Saturday, April 27th. Go to the rewards page at arizonasports.com for your chance to win tickets and for complete info. The trade rumors swirling around the Cardinals have been nonstop. What could an actual deal look like? Well, one national writer took a crack at it and came up with one trade that Gambo likes. We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Bill Barnwell says that he did use the Jimmy Johnson chart, you know, to kind of come up with draft value and what each pick is worth and things like that when coming up with this big story. It's a Bill Barnwell piece, so of course it's a long story, on ESPN.com, in which he proposes 32 separate trades going into the NFL draft, one for each team. And each one is kind of independent of the others, right? I mean, if the in one trade he's got the Cardinals trading Josh Rosen to Washington. And a separate trade he's got the Cardinals trading Josh Rosen to the Chargers. Obviously, in the same universe, that can't both happen. So it's almost like he says, okay, hit the reset button. Here's what the trade Washington might make. Here, hit the reset button. Here's the trade the Chargers might make, right? So 32 total trades. Four of them involved the Arizona Cardinals. Only one of them was one that you liked.
Okay, let's go over them.
And it was the one where the Cardinals trade down.
With the Raiders.
The Raiders trade up.
Okay.
In his proposed trade, the Cardinals would get the fourth pick, the 24th pick, the 35th pick. The Raiders would get the first pick and a third rounder, number 65 overall from the Cardinals.
Okay.
So a first and a third.
Now, I'm going to preface this because we're going to go over these and we'll go over them quickly and go. I don't think that any of these parameters work on a deal based on past history. The Carson Wentz trade, the Jared Goff trade. Usually teams don't want all these picks together in one draft. They like to spread them out over two. So if you go look at past history, when a team's trading up for a number one quarterback, you see it first round of this year, first round of next year. Second round of this year, second round of next year. Third round of this year, third round of next year. So you're seeing a lot of that so teams don't clump them all in together and have 14 picks in one draft. So that's why I'll say the parameters to me aren't going to work. But on this one, yeah, you're getting the fourth pick, the 24th pick, and the 35th pick. And the only pick you're giving up outside of number one is you're giving up a third round of number 65. But you do end up with in this, you know, you do end up with 424. You've got your own pick at 33 and then 35. So four of the top 35. That's an attractive package.
Yes, four of the top 35.
That's the only one I like.
That's the only one you like because the other three all involve trading Josh Rosen. And there's one thing that Barnwell makes very clear in proposing all of these trades.
He doesn't think highly of Rosen based on these trades.
In all three scenarios. No, in all three scenarios, he paints a picture where the Cardinals will have to give up something else in addition to Josh Rosen to get back a first-round pick.
Yeah, and the first one is Washington gets Rosen and the number 33 overall pick from the Cardinals. And then the Cardinals get Case Keenum and the number 15 pick. So the Cardinals are giving up Josh Rosen to move up 18 spots?
Yes.
But they're giving up their second-round pick, so now they don't have a pick in the second round.
Yes.
I'd rather just trade Josh Rosen for, you know...
But look at it this way. Instead of having two of the top 33 picks, you have two of the top 15 picks. I mean, that's the simple way of looking at
but
it.
But you're giving up 33 to get to 15.
You are, but
I still want... And what's your philosophy? You want quantity. You want more chances of getting a guy. This is just swapping one pick for another pick.
Right, but it's improving your ability to get better talent because you're moving up 18. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying.
I want volume.
I want volume. I want quantity. I want as many picks as I can get, and this does not satisfy that. But you instead of having two picks of the first 33, you now have two picks in the first 15.
Don't like it. Don't like it because the only thing you're doing, you're trading Rosen to move up 18 spots. You're not gaining any extra picks. You're only moving up 18 spots. And now you don't have a pick in the second round.
Right.
You've lost it.
But you have a second first-round pick. But you don't like that. Okay.
Oh, terrible. I hate that the most.
Second trade that he proposes. The Cardinals trade Rosen to the Chargers, and again, a very similar deal. The Chargers would get Josh Rosen, the second-round pick for the Cardinals, the fourth-round pick for the Cardinals.
Jeez.
The Cardinals would get the Chargers' first-round pick and their second-round pick.
Which is 60th overall. It's a terrible trade.
So
you're not only giving up Rosen, you're giving up your second-round pick and your fourth-round pick. So now you don't have a pick in the second round, and you're getting a super-late first-rounder, which is 28th overall.
You'd get the Chargers' second-round pick back as well.
At 60.
At 60.
Okay, at 60.
So you still have a second round pick.
Right. Okay. So you're going from 33 to 60 in the second round.
Right. But you're also picking up an additional first round pick at number 28.
But giving up a fourth rounder.
So at least you still have a second rounder. This one to me bothers me the least. This one to me I could actually go because the fourth rounder, you know, that's kind of you're kind of in Flyerville at that point. You might get a guy who sticks. You might not.
Okay. But you're basically, I mean, you're giving up Rosen for... I mean, you're only moving up five spots. You're giving up the 33rd pick to get to the 28th pick. So you're trading Rosen to move up five spots, and then you're getting the 60th pick, but giving up the 103rd pick. I just think you're only moving. I mean, the biggest part of the deal is you're moving up five spots in the draft. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest part of the deal. You go from 33 to 28.
But you still stay in the second round. And
at 60,
still allows you to use Kyler. Well, you don't think you can get a good player at 60?
I just think that, man, it's just
all
the value.
It's all garbage.
It just
once
doesn't
you get to 60?
It doesn't seem like the value on Rosen is that high, according to Barnwell.
And then the third one is the most intriguing. This is a three-team deal he's proposing, kind of with the basis of the Patriots.
Yeah, this gets complicated.
Well, I'll try to keep it as simple as I possibly can. The Cardinals would give up Josh Rosen and Robert Kimdichie, and they'd get the Patriots' first-rounder back. Now, I think that's a deal we all could live with.
Sure. Because
right?
I'm not giving up any picks.
Nope. You're giving up a player that you're probably mostly done with anyway.
Right.
Robert Kimdichie.
And I'm getting a first-round pick.
Now, it's a three-team deal, so Rosen would actually end up with the Giants. The Patriots would end up with Kimdichie, but you're not giving up any more of your picks. You're giving up Rosen and Kimdichie. Rosen to the Giants, Kimdichie to the Patriots, and in exchange you get number 32 overall from New England.
So he's got Rosen to the Rosen to the Chargers, and then Rosen to the Giants.
But I think you're right. I think it does sort of highlight what Barnwell thinks of what the marketplace might think of Josh Rosen.
Which is not much.
And what he seems to think is that if the Cardinals really think they're going to get a first-rounder back for Josh Rosen, they're going to have to pony up something else. They're going to have to throw something else into the kitty to get that back. That's what Barnwell has made very clear in every one of these three draft proposals that he has.
On those three draft proposals, to be all honest with you, I'd rather just hold on to him and try to trade him at a different time.
Boy, I was listening to Dave Pasch earlier. He was on with Bickley and Murata. And he doesn't think there's any problem with that at all. He thinks that the Cardinals locker room, coaching staff could overcome whatever divisions might occur within the locker room. If you've got two guys in there, you know how I feel about it. I'm real skeptical. I'm real skeptical that Kyler Murray and Josh Rosen should be existing on the same roster in the NFL. I just think that causes way too many problems. But Pasch, he's a smart guy, and he's been around a lot of NFL teams, and he doesn't seem to think it would be a problem. If this is what's out there for Rosen and they do take Kyler Murray number one, that might be the road they have to go down. Because I agree with what you said. If you wholeheartedly believe that Kyler Murray is the quarterback you need to take, you can't not take him because you can't find a suitable trade for Josh Rosen. You have to take him.
Yeah.
I'm
going to ask a player right now, because I want to know. I want to get a player perspective. I'm going to ask a couple of players on this team. What do they think about the possibility of Rosen and Murray on this team together? Would that be a problem or not? Just try to get some feedback, because I think it would be interesting.
Yeah, I think it would be very interesting, too.
I'm trying to find out.
After leaving Arizona, all three were supposed to be in better situations. So far, the former Diamondbacks, it's been a little bit of a mixed bag. We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
It's fun to stay at the YMCA. It's fun to stay at the YMCA.
You should know that in between segments during commercial breaks, it's good to see you getting a lift in every now and then. You're walking over there here at the YMCA. And
every
you're
commercial
doing
break.
Some chest flies, and you're doing some triceps work. That's good. That's good that you're staying in shape.
I got my workout in this morning, but you know, when you're here, it's just like I'm addicted.
Calls you, right?
I just feel like I just want to get on these machines, and I want to go, and I want to run, and I want to bike, and I want to lift, and I want to just go.
We're live at the YMCA in downtown Phoenix, along with Fulton Holmes and the Drowning Prevention Coalition of Arizona, all teaming up once again to remind everybody that 2 seconds is too long. Fulton2seconds.com is the website. We'll have more information on that. But because Gambo admitted that he went to a Village People concert once in the day, and because he does...
Bad? Was that bad?
It's great.
You do bear a resemblance to at least one of the members of the Village People. Sarah put together this little poll for you here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Okay.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
So, what do we have, Sarah?
It is amazing how similar you look to both Glenn Hughes and David Hodo. It's decently close now.
Wait, which one is Glenn? I don't know who either of those guys
Glenn
are.
Glenn is wearing the leather cop hat with the leather jacket and the spikes all on the collar. He's really into the leather, if you're sensing a theme here. And then David Hodo is the one who wears the construction hat with the open flannel vest. And you look very much like both of them.
Really?
You actually really do.
Well, they must be some good-looking dudes right there.
Yes, indeed.
Those must be some good-looking dudes.
Well, right now, 65% of our voters think you look like the leather guy. And 35 yeah. went for David Hodo, the construction man. So.
Glad that you guys could all laugh at my expense.
Don't worry. Sure. For reference, we threw your boxing photo in there. So you look like you are one of the village people.
I look like I'm one of the... Okay. It's all right.
You're a good sport.
I'm a good sport.
You're a good sport,
we
Charlie
love you for
Brown.
It.
We love you. It's like any locker room in America. We only tease the ones we love, right?
That is right.
If you're not getting teased, we probably don't love you very much.
Yeah.
So because we're afraid of you. So the fact that we can tease
Maybe I'll vote on this myself.
Maybe you should. What's the second poll question? I know it has to do with that Barnwell story about trade possibilities for the Cards.
Yes, it does. And it's a little bit convoluted, so I'll break it down and just simplify it a touch. So there were 32 draft trade scenarios proposed by this writer, Bill Barnwell. Of the four that involve the Cardinals, which one would Arizona go for or should Arizona go for? Option A, which has 78% of the vote right now, it involves trading down the number one pick to the Raiders and getting back two first-round picks in addition to a second-round pick. Again, 78% of our people voted for that, even though that means trading away that number one pick probably means no Kyler Murray for the Cardinals.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
11% voted for option B. That sends Rosen and a second-round pick, the 33 pick, to the Redskins, and you get Case Keenum in return. And then we've got 7% for option D. That sends away Josh Rosen to the Giants and Kim Dichie to the Pats in return for a first-round pick. And then no one liked option C, just 4% for sending Rosen to the Chargers in exchange for a bunch of picks.
Yeah, the obvious one is trading down. That's the one that's running away with it because you just get all those boatload of first-round picks. You'd have four of the first 35 picks under that scenario. It's doubtful any of those scenarios will actually come to pass, but it is sort of an interesting reflection of what a trade could kind of sort of look like in any scenario.
I think the majority of us locally kind of feel like they're either going to take Murray or trade the pick. I don't know that many of us feel like they're just going to sit there and take Bosa. That might be what they do, but that's the most boring thing that they could do.
Well, maybe that's why it might be the best thing, but it doesn't. That idea doesn't seem to have a whole lot of appeal to people, does it? I think you're absolutely right. I don't think that's going to happen. But Nick Bosa is a heck of a football player.
I still like Bosa over Williams and think that if they have a choice of keeping the number one pick and not trading it and not taking a quarterback, that they will pick Bosa over Williams. I just think that Bosa's body of work is better. Williams had the one great year. I'm not saying they don't like Williams, I give Bosa the nod over Williams if they stay there and get the pick.
All right. A couple of quick schedule leaks.
Oh, you're getting a leak?
I'm getting a leak.
Okay.
Getting a leak or two here when it comes to the schedule. According to a leak coming from the 49ers side of things, the Cardinals will be at home against the Niners in Week 9 on Thursday Night Football.
Okay.
And on the road in San... Oh, and that, by the way, that Thursday Night Football game is Halloween night.
I've got the 49ers playing the Cardinals in Week 9 and then a Week 11.
Yes, Week 11, they'd play in San Francisco.
In San Fran.
So
Week 9 at Arizona, Week 11 at home against Arizona.
Yep.
So the Cardinals are going to play the 49ers in Week 9 and Week 11.
Yep.
So if this is true, we've got four games right now locked in. The Giants, the Saints, and then the two 49er games.
And again, according to the report, that home game against the Niners is primetime Thursday Night Football, but Halloween Thursday Night Football.
It's not the Bucks because the 49ers open against the Bucks.
Right. It's not the Bucks.
So it's not the Bucks.
And there's another report out that the Cardinals will open the season at home against the Lions in Week 1.
Another report.
Yes. So those are the ones that the leaks that are starting to come out suggest we might know five of the games right now. The two Niner games, the Lions game, the Saints game, and the Giants game so far.
Let's get to open against the Lions. The Lions always suck. So
the Diamondbacks game against the Braves underway. We'll keep you completely updated on the course of that game. In the meantime, something else we have to keep you updated on. A.J. Pollock, 239.
One home run.
11 RBI.
One homer, 239 batting average.
615 OPS. You know I'm down with OPS. Apparently A.J. Pollock is not down with OPS because that's not a very good number
for
A.J. Pollock.
You know, this is the thing I was looking at today. Adam Jones compared to A.J. Pollock, Christian Walker compared to Paul Goldschmidt. Now, it's very, very early, and I totally, you know, I readily admit that this is early. But you know what? It is something that, you know, we're going to look at on a regular basis just because, you know, this is what we do. Adam Jones is hitting .324. A.J. Pollock's hitting .239. Adam Jones has 4 homers and 10 RBIs. A.J. Pollock has 1 homer and 11 RBIs. Christian Walker is batting .294. Paul Goldschmidt is batting .222. Walker has 5 homers and 9 RBIs. Goldie has 7 homers and 12 RBIs. Very early, okay, very early. But they're not missing any production out of these two guys right now. They're actually getting more production from their replacements than they are from those guys themselves.
Yeah.
They're getting more production. And, you know, with Adam Jones, .324, 4 homers and 10 RBIs. And let's not forget about the cost. What is it costing the Dodgers to pay A.J. Pollock? What is it costing the Cardinals to pay Paul Goldschmidt? There's there's a lot of money invested in those guys.
What are we talking about, $180 million, right, with the two contracts combined?
What was A.J.?
A.J. was like 50, 54, something like that, I think. And Goldie was 130, if memory serves.
Okay.
So you're talking about 184, roughly, give or take. I'm just going off the top of my head, but I think that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, Adam Jones is getting peanuts, and you're not paying a lot of it. Christian Walker's not making any money, and yeah, I mean, you know, you're not spending a lot of money on these players, and you're getting very similar production. Now, do I think this is going to end the same way? I don't know. Adam Jones is a really, really good baseball player. His numbers might end up being better than A.J. Pollock. Yeah, and I think, you know, everybody said, oh, A.J. was the easiest to keep because he didn't cost a lot of money. But A.J.'s, you know, I like A.J. He's a good ball player, but he gets hurt a lot. And I got a lot of comments when I put that on Twitter today. Oh, we're just waiting for him to go on the injured list. At some point, he'll be on the injured list. Yeah, he gets hurt. He's always gotten hurt.
I mean, look, it's early, and we're going to be saying that for a long time. It's typical baseball season, right? It's early. But early returns are, you can kind of make this blanket general statement that Mike Hazen and his crew kind of know what they're doing. I mean, that's a very blanket statement to make, and it might not, you know, the Diamondbacks might end up winning 73 games this year, but so far early on in not paying those guys that money, the Diamondbacks have not lost anything in the way of production at all, and the money that they're saving that allows them to hopefully spend somewhere down the road on guys that are, now, Goldie's going to end up hitting .295, he's going to have 33 to 38 home runs. He's going to drive in 95 to 110 runs when it's all said and done. And he's going to have an OPS somewhere over 900. I mean, he will. It's just he will have that. AJ's the wild card.
We're 20 games in, and A.J. Pollock has 1 home run.
Yes.
And he's batting, what did I say he was batting?
.231.
Yeah, 20 games
239.
Yeah, 239, 20 games in for A.J. Pollock. Just 1 home run. Now, you break that out over, you know, 160 games, 20, 40, 60, 80, 100, 120. I mean, he's on pace for like 8 home runs.
Yeah.
A.J. Pollock. Now, things can change.
Sure.
But he's obviously off to a really slow start with the team.
It is not a perfect comparison. By no means is it a perfect comparison. But there is one NFL example, kind of what the Cardinals are going through with their quarterback decision. We'll tell you who it is and how it worked out next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Schedule release coming up in 15 minutes. Keep it right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We're going to release the schedule, go over it game by game, look at the pockets, look at the tough spots. We're going to have Wolfley on at 5:15, get his impressions of the schedule. Basically, the last hour of the show, because we know it is a big deal to Cardinal fans to kind of look at the schedule. We'll probably even play Gambo's win-loss game, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, I like doing that.
You love doing that, right?
I like doing that.
Win-loss.
Win-loss.
What do you think?
What if we come up with?
What if I throw in a tie in there for fun, right?
What'd you have last year? How many wins?
6.
I think I had 7.
Pretty sure I had 6. I think I said they were a 6-10 team last year.
Maybe I was 8. I was 7 or 8.
I remember I was well below everybody else at the station. Yeah. Everybody was very optimistic about an 8-8 season, and I'm like, I think they're a 6-win.
You came in closest.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that, but I just remember there was a overwhelming belief that they'd be better than that. It's not, by no means is it a perfect comparison. In fact, it's really imperfect in many, many ways. But a Packer fan website somebody kind of made the point. You sent me this link. It was an interesting read because I would have forgotten all about this. That in some ways, not in every way, but in some ways, the decision that the Cardinals are faced with here, keep Rosen, draft Murray, draft a quarterback after we already drafted, we thought, our quarterback of the future, is in some ways reminiscent of what the Green Bay Packers did. Not with drafting Rodgers to take over for Favre, but if you remember, because Favre was still very much in the prime of his career, Rodgers didn't play. And his first couple of preseasons in Green Bay, he didn't show a whole lot. There wasn't a lot of excitement about Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback of the future. So to cover their butts, in year three of Rodgers' time in Green Bay, they drafted Brian Brohm.
From Louisville, second round.
Yep.
Good player out of Louisville, wasn't a good pro. Didn't last very long, but he was a second-round pick out of Louisville. They ended up going with a quarterback when they had Aaron Rodgers there for 3 years.
When you invest a second-round pick in a quarterback, I mean, that's pretty substantial draft capital.
Sure.
And you kind of are expressing a little bit of maybe not doubt, maybe not concern, but certainly you want to buy yourself an insurance policy in case Aaron Rodgers isn't the guy.
Look, there are probably comparisons that you could be like, okay, this is similar and this is similar. I've got a guy on... message me on Twitter right now saying 89 Walsh and Aikman for the Cowboys. It's not unprecedented. I'm like, yeah, but that was a supplemental draft that they got the guy in. They picked him up in a supplemental draft in the first round, but it was the same year. It was literally like the same year that they took two quarterbacks. I mean, you know, Washington took two quarterbacks and they took Cousins and RG3. This is taking a quarterback with a top 10 pick 1 year, and then a year later, knowing what you have, taking a quarterback with a top 10 pick again. Okay, this isn't, I'm going to take two quarterbacks. I'm going to take Troy Aikman in the first round, and then the supplemental draft comes out. Because you didn't know what Troy Aikman was.
Right.
And then you drafted Walsh in the first round in the supplemental draft. You didn't know what you had in Aikman. You had to give up that first round pick to get him in the supplemental that year. So I think this is unprecedented. There has never been anything like this, where you drafted a quarterback with a top 10 pick, he played for you for a year, and now you're like, you know what, I might get rid of you to draft this other guy because I like this guy better. That just doesn't happen in this league.
No, it just doesn't. And I look at I barely remember Brohm being drafted by the Packers. It was so long ago, and it was so inconsequential given Rodgers' career. But looking back on it now, I kind of look at that as, like I described it, like an insurance policy. Hey, just in case we got it wrong with Aaron Rodgers, we really like this Brohm guy, let's take him just in case.
Sure.
Cover our butts a little bit. That's not the core of what the Cardinals would be doing. The Cardinals are clearly going... The Packers did not draft Brian Brohm thinking, this is a franchise-changing moment for us. This is a star quarterback that we just drafted. He was an insurance policy. The Cardinals, if they draft Kyler Murray, are doing it as...
He's our guy.
He's our guy.
And they're going to get rid of Rosen.
He's a star.
Yeah.
He is going to be a stud in this league, a star in this league.
This is not insurance. This is replacement.
This is a dramatic upgrade from what we had. This is not an insurance policy.
It would have to be in order to take him. Now, listen, you know, if Rosen, out of the five quarterbacks drafted in the first round last year, Rosen, his numbers were, statistically, he was the worst. If he had played really well, this might not be a conversation, but he didn't play really well. I mean, no matter how dynamic Kyler Murray is, if Rosen had tore it up,
yeah,
if he had played the way Baker Mayfield did and they were winning some games and he was putting up good numbers, I don't think we'd be where we are right now. But there is some doubt about Rosen. There are people that have doubts about Rosen.
It's funny you brought that up. I was listening to Bickley and Murata the other day, and Jer Carlin, their producer, brought that up in a conversation. And he said, hypothetically, if Josh Rosen had even had a season like Sam Darnold did, where he was terrible weeks 1 through 14. But then turned it on in the last 3 or 4 weeks of the season. Are we even having this conversation today if Josh Rosen had a
I
don't think so either.
Probably not.
I agree with you.
Because
I don't think we are.
Because he showed the promise and the potential where you got excited. We kept waiting for that game, the 300-yard, three-touchdown passing game. It never came. I kept saying that all last year. One of these games, he's going to break out.
He didn't.
There's going to come. I kept saying there's probably going to be a game where he throws for 300 yards and three touchdowns. Just like it never came. So you ended the season. What do you have? Don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know because the offensive line wasn't good. Don't know because the coach wasn't good. Don't know because the OC got fired 3 games in. Don't know because the wide receiver. You don't know. what you have. That's the hardest part about this.
I haven't heard this sound yet, but I want to play it for you. This is Michael Silver, longtime NFL writer who works for the NFL Network. He says that from what he understands, Cliff Kingsbury very much wants Kyler Murray.
Steve Keim may not have decided, but the feeling around the league is that Cliff Kingsbury has made it very clear to people that he's talked to that he wants Kyler Murray. It's not his pick. It's Steve Keim's pick, and obviously owner Michael Bidwell has the final say. But, you know, it's going to be tough to walk that back if they do decide, hey, Josh, we loved you the whole time.
I don't think it's hard to walk back. I don't think it's hard. It's a business. You're a professional now. They didn't draft him. They kept you. I mean, that's all you got to say. Hey, in the end, we decided to stick with you.
Mm-hmm.
There's no walking it back. There's no hard feelings. We did whatever your organization would have done. We did our homework on that guy as much as he could. But in the end, we chose you. Yeah, we brought him in for a visit. We spoke with him. But in the end, we decided that it would be better to keep you as our quarterback.
Rosen trying to tune the noise out, says Silver.
I'm told by people close to Josh Rosen that he has tried to tune out the noise. You know, he's not thrilled with the way this has played out. Thought about not coming in for the offseason program, but ultimately decided, you know what, I'm going to put my head down. I'm going to be the best quarterback and teammate I can be and see what happens. Still very attached to the Cardinal franchise and would love to be there, but also understands the business realities.
I do want to ask you the question. I want to circle back to the first thing he said, though. If it's true, and I don't know if it's true or not, but if what Mike Silver said on that NFL.com story there is true, and Kingsbury is pushing for Murray, even though ultimately it's Keim and Michael's call, you don't think damage any part of the relationship between Rosen and Kingsbury at all? I mean, if Kingsbury was pushing for Murray, does that bridge need to be rebuilt or built between
Kingsbury?
Okay,
let me ask you something. I'll tell you right now, Igor Kokoschkov would have wanted Luka Doncic over DeAndre Ayton.
Yes, you're right.
Do you think that there's a problem between Igor Kokoschkov and DeAndre Ayton?
No.
No.
No, I don't.
But he took himself out of the equation.
He would have wanted that.
Well.
Yep.
Oh, no, he wanted Luka.
Yeah, he did.
He wanted Luka.
He would have.
His familiarity with Luka, I mean, he almost had to take himself out of the equation because he knew too much on Luka. You know, I'm sure he gave his opinion and everything, but they went with DeAndre Ayton. I'm DeAndre Ayton. I've got a head coach that would have rather had Luka Doncic than me. It's not a problem. It's not a problem. You figure it out. You work. You got to work together now.
Let's figure it out. And remember that he got the job. Cliff Kingsbury got the job based off of him selling himself to Steve Keim on his ability to make Josh Rosen a great quarterback.
Sure.
It's the whole reason why Kingsbury's
here. And listen,
here.
You're going to deny
that
this.
Ultimately
and
hasn't
listen,
changed.
Even if it's true, you're going to deny that anyway.
Yeah.
You're not going to go, yeah, I would have much. Rosen comes up to you, would you rather have Murray? Yeah, of course I would have rather had Murray. No, you're not going to say that.
We've been getting hints all day as to what the schedule might look like. Coming up next, we will officially see the 2019 schedule for the Arizona Cardinals. Keep it right here. We'll give you game by game what it's going to look like next on the Burns and Gambo Show.